How many of you are kind of curious about my title tonight? How many of you even know what the title is tonight? I got a call from my secretary, Kristen, and she says, just confirming the title for tonight. Now, what she meant was, is this a mistake? But she didn't say that. The secret of the town of Two Tree. Now, where did I get that name? Well, I just recently read a small little book, and I don't necessarily recommend it. It's okay, but it's not great. It's called The Town of Two Egg. How many of you have ever been to Two Egg, Florida? Don't y'all know anything here? There's a town called Two Egg, truly, in Florida. So how did you come up with Two Tree? Well, I think you'll see it. And the secret of the town of Two Tree. You know, we all live in a certain way. We either live in a spiritual condition or what's called a carnal or fleshly condition. And that's what we've been going through in Romans. And, you know, I always try to stay ahead on my sermons because you just don't get under the pressure. And so I try to stay ahead. And sometimes I have something so good that I can hardly hold it back from you. But I do, because you have to. But sometimes I can hardly do it, because I say, I got to tell that. But if I tell that, then when I get to that sermon, I won't have it to tell. Point one is God made man for happiness. Now, when it says man in the Bible, it's talking about mankind, man, women. We were made to be happy. But sometimes we don't think that, do we? And we really don't. The first psalm in the Bible, in the book of Psalms. Now, Psalms is, if you're ever down, now this is just my personal opinion. Some people would say Proverbs, but I think if you're ever down, personally, you need to read Psalms. And there's stuff in Psalms that will just, I mean, when I went through my biggest struggles, and I can prove it with the Bible behind me that's up there right now, and in the book of Psalms, you'll see where I've worn him out. And I mark in them. Now, you know, the Muslims aren't allowed to mark in their Bibles, but we can mark in our Bible because we believe the Word, not the pages, but the Word is holy. So we think it's okay to say, oh, look at this, or write this. Oh, underline this. We think that's okay. And then Psalm 1:1 and 2. Now, Art Rohrheim, who is the founder of Awana International around all the world, this is his favorite psalm in all the Bible. Remember, many of us in this room memorized it? And this is his favorite. And we were singing that hymn tonight on the Fill the Oceans. It wouldn't show the love of God. And it wouldn't, right? But that was Lance Latham. He's also the pastor that was at Northside Gospel Center at the same time Art Rohrheim was the youth director when Art started what's called Awana. That's all over the world. You can go in any town in America, I don't care where you go, and you drive by a church, and it says Awana meets at a certain night. My daughter and son-in-law in Chi-Lai, Ohio, they tried to do their own thing, and they just didn't work, and they started Awana. If you understand how small their church is, but they're having about 70 kids right now in Awana, and they're thrilled to death about it. And it's just already done, and you don't have to recreate and remake the wheel. And I think most of you know, most people, I mean, anyone that wants to know, it's not like a deep secret, but Art Rohrheim right now is about 95, and he's going to have his funeral right in this church. Some of you say that's more, but I think it's great. And it's going to be the most unusual funeral probably in Chicago history. He's still alive. He's not dead. Don't go telling him he died. He's still alive. But isn't that an honor? And then they ask us if we'd keep his casket because they don't want to have it at Awana because people freak out. So we have his casket. Where? At our airplane hangar. Every time those pilots get in the plane, they look at a casket. I love it. Give some, you know, be careful. David, does it have an effect on you a little bit? It is kind of spooky to see it there. The other day I got in there and scared my son to death. No, I didn't. I did not. I promise you. I'm morbid, but not that bad. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Now you say, what do you mean, Daddy? You meditate day and night? Well, every moment. Now, I know this is hard. Some of you, especially if you just came here at night, say, how would you do that? Well, when you really understand God and you can think about him just all the time. And the devil comes and tries to tempt me someday, and I say, but I'm already dead to that. I've been born again, and I don't have to follow that temptation. And it really works. No one's perfect. No one will be. But it really does work. Now, this psalm was put there to show us what all the psalms are going to be worth and what they mean. Blessed of the righteous, misery of the wicked. Now, you don't have to do this, but maybe when you get home or do it now, but put blessed of the righteous and misery of the wicked. Put it in your brain. If I'm wicked, I'm going to be miserable. If you're wicked, you're going to be in bondage. You don't want to be in bondage. Did you ever hear, and I hear some of our people that come to RU, and so some of them have come up and said, Pastor, when I had the drugs, I was in bondage. I wasn't in liberty. I was in bondage. And it wasn't good. I was miserable. There's the moral issue here. You're going to be blessed if you do right, and you're going to be not blessed if you do wrong. Blessed. Blessed. Happiness. Do you know about everybody wants, well, not every, I mean, everybody wants to be happy, right? I mean, what do you really want? You say, well, I want riches. Well, you want riches because it'll make you happy, right? You don't want riches to be miserable, do you? Whatever you have, you want it to do to make you happy, don't you? I think so. Every person. And I think everybody abhors misery, right? Don't you abhor misery? Well, you do. You don't want to. I don't think any of you say, hey, Pastor, pray that I go to the hospital tomorrow and have open heart surgery. I don't think you're going to want to pray that, as I've had. Some of you have had. Three or four of you have had. You say, well, why would you have that if you're serving? Well, we still have things, but we have someone with us. And I shared this many times. I'll share it till I die. But I could have been going on vacation when I went down to have a quintuple bypass surgery. And I had no fear. Now, you say, how did that happen? Well, I can only say God did it. I couldn't have done it. Matter of fact, I was having fear, and I had to pray, and God took it away. He took it away. So that's our grand object, happiness. But see, people don't think, oh, no, I'm going to go out and I'm going to party and I'm going to, you know, I'll get so drunk I won't know what happened. That's not happiness. It's just not happiness. Have you ever truly, truly seen a drunk happy? I haven't. I've seen them laugh. But I've never seen him happy. It's just not a way to be happy. How do you get happy? Well, with righteousness. We're perverted and we seek happiness where it can't be found. It cannot be found out there in that world. It can't be. It's not there. You can say, well, my goal is to be president of the United States. That won't give you happiness. It really won't give you happiness. You could be president, you could be whatever. The only thing that's going to give you happiness is righteousness. Serving God, that's the only happiness that's in the world. But we're perverted, and we try to look at the wrong place. Blessed the man that walketh not, walk the counsel, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth. You have to start by walking, right? God doesn't want you to walk. He doesn't want you to stand in the way. He doesn't want you to sit, hindering other people. He doesn't want you to hinder people from seeing the truth of Christ. And, you know, they see you get mad as anybody that works with you, and they really get mad at you, and you get mad back, and you act the same as the world. And then you wonder why I've never won anybody. I wonder why. We cannot be a bad example and be blessed. It just can't be. The ungodly man, uninfluenced by God. I'm not going to let God influence me. I've had people tell me, I've had hundreds of them, "Hey, Pastor, that's okay for you. I think I'm doing just fine. I don't really need the things of God. I really don't. And I'm doing just fine." And when we die, I bet you I'm up in heaven in a better spot than you are. I said, "Well, I hope you know you're going to heaven, because if you haven't put your trust in Christ, you're not going to be in heaven." But the scornful, the deist, atheist, sometimes the Christian will make fun of other Christians. Scorn. I've had people make fun of me that I've led to Christ. You say, how would they do that? Well, they can do it. Scornful. You don't want to be that, do you? The ungodly walks, the sinner stands, the scornful sits. Hey, man, I don't need this stuff. You know, they think they're so cool. They really think they know everything, don't they? They really do. The ungodly man has his counsel. The sinner has his way. The scornful have their seat. And that's what they do, and it's not a good thing. Ungodly is not concerned about church. No zeal. They don't care. They say, "Well, I could never go to church." Like those Quentin Road people actually go 3 times a week. They spend 3 hours a week. How could anybody waste 3 hours a week after they just watched their 6th movie with 3 hours long? How could you do it? Well, if you're real excited about God, it's real easy. When you don't do it because you got to do it, no one has to do it, but you do it because you want to do it. And I tell you, when you start, you get saved and you get... I used to think the Bible is the most boring book on the face of earth. I detested it. You say, "You did?" "Oh, yeah. I didn't like the Bible. I thought anybody that read the Bible was Looney Tunes. I thought they wrote the cartoons, Looney Tunes. I really did. I thought anybody that could like that Bible is loony." And then when I got saved, man, I thought, "This is the greatest book ever. I can't get enough of this book." But they say, "Oh, I don't need church. I've got a good, honest life." And some of them have an honest life. Some of them don't have an honest life. You know. One is a drunkard, another's dishonest, another's unclean. Most everybody doesn't have every vice. The covetous man abhors a drunkard, the drunkard abhors a covetous man, etc., etc. But we each have what's called our besetting sin. Everybody in this room has a sin that is the worst, that takes you down, that is your worst of the sins. You know, some have... Not have an issue ever with certain things. Some will never have an issue being covetous. But others will. And we have to be very careful about it. They say live a long, honest life. Don't make a fuss about religion. Why would you fuss about religion? Well, if you really carry that out, why do you fuss about anything? Why do you fuss about watching the games? Now, I'm into the NCAA. I like to see the Bulls. I believe they're playing right now, but I don't care because I'd rather be here. And I really don't care, but there's nothing wrong with liking something, but how about compared to God? Well, there's no comparison. It really isn't. Now, let's look at point 2, wicked to the chaff tossed before the wind. Psalm 1, verses 3 and 4. "And he shall be like a tree." That's one tree. "Planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. The ungodly are not sober, like chaff, which the wind driveth away." Now, I don't know how many of you have ever seen chaff and ever seen them getting wheat and clean it up and corn. I have. I plowed on Oklahoma farms for 4 summers. Started when I was 12. I worked 12-hour days, 6-day weeks. I never once thought I was working. Isn't it great when kids don't think they're working? I made $1 an hour. You say, that's not much. Oh, it was in those days. $1 an hour is a lot of money. And I made all that every week. And I never thought I was working. Never once did I say, I've got to go get on that John Deere tractor and drive 12 hours in that field. I never thought of it once. I just couldn't wait to get out there. I begged and begged to do the night shift. We never shut down. So how'd you get fuel? Well, we fueled up in the field, and we never shut down. And I loved it. But boy, I don't like that chaff. I don't like stubble. You know, all the other farmers would burn their fields at the end. My brother-in-law, oh no, he didn't burn fields because that's good fertilizer. So I'd have to be there, and I'd look back at the plow, and all of a sudden it's not plowing. It's all clogged, and I'd have to stop, and I'd have to get out and pull and pull and pull. But if you didn't, if you go around the whole time and you're not plowing, you're going to go around again plowing, because you don't leave a place not plowed. But I don't like that stuff. But he did it. He was green before anybody else was green. It was one good tree, but the chaff, it's really not a tree, but I want you to picture it as a worthless tree. It doesn't produce fruit. It doesn't produce anything. The one has all the fruits, and everything you do prospers. Boy, isn't that good? Everything. You say, wait a minute. You said everything you do prospers, but you had open heart surgery. What do you mean everything? Well, we have things like that. And we still have problem, but we prosper. There's a big difference. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a huge difference. And you have fruits. The leaf shall not wither. Boy, that's a promise. Do I believe that? I believe that promise. I really do. You mean, but you've had problems. Of course I've had. Everybody has problems. But I know that if I keep serving him, I'm going to prosper. I know that those that don't are going to be miserable. Miserable. Look at 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Little actions mean a lot in our lives, don't they? That chaff, you know, you take it and the threshing floor. We shared that Sunday night at the Tower of the Flock, and where Ruth and Boaz met. And I was sharing how there could be no wind that day, but when you're on that threshing floor, the winds would come in and hit it just right. And you'd see little swirls of stuff. And they'd take their grain, and they'd throw the grain up, and all the bad stuff would blow out. And it would make such a difference. And it was such... But one, that's how God sees you. Now, you may think you're cool. You may think you're really hot. You may think that you're better than other people. But you're not serving. Church doesn't mean much. And you just kind of go through life. I don't know how many of you ever see this house hunters, house things, you know. It's kind of, some ways it's kind of nice because in house hunters, they usually don't have bad commercials even. I mean, how do you have a bad commercial looking at a house product? But you see these, I saw this woman and her husband, and they built this big place, and they've lived there 16 years. And she says, we just live our life for each other. Well, that's sweet. And I'm glad they live their life for each other. And she said, he has a whim, and we build his whim. I said, you build his whim? I was just thinking, go to another church. We just love our whims. And they show these things they built, and they built their whims. And, oh, man. No, I want everybody to come. Don't get me wrong. But I just sit there and think, wow, that's weird. And we just live for each other. Well, I'm glad you live for each other, but shouldn't you live for God? Where does God fit in? God doesn't fit in. There's no God. There's no church. I remember a family once, years and years and years ago. And they were coming, and I liked the family, and I liked the husband. And she says, "We have got the happiest marriage ever." I said, "Well, that's wonderful." And she said, "I think you're just carried away with church." I said, "Well, that's not so wonderful." And then the next time I saw her, it was about 10 years ago. She was here, I think. I said, "How's your marriage?" "Oh, that bum left me. Moved out to Hawaii with another woman." I didn't say it to her. I kind of wanted to, but I didn't. Isn't that amazing what people do? But we're to read and pray and meditate and be blessed of God. Ungodly person is never steady. Purposes are always wrong. Conversation's light. You ever talk to people that are conversations so light? Dr. Floyd and I got together today and talked about the India. He's just telling me this happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. He's so excited. So many got saved. So many hundreds got saved. And there was nothing light about our conversation. All we were talking about is things of God. And I hate to, don't you just hate to deal with somebody that nothing in their life except, "Oh, did you see the Bulls? Did you see this? Did you see, isn't that great?" Well, it might be. And it's not that important unless it's Kentucky win the NCAA. But other than that, some of you didn't catch that, did you? Just a little thing I slipped in. Not very good. Well, what's your point of view? I want you to think about, what is it? What is it? Let's look at point three. God's the only judge. Psalm 1, 5 and 6. "Therefore the ungodly man shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the ways of the ungodly shall perish." Do you want to have a real good life? I promise you before God that people in this church that are dedicated to Him have a lot happier life. Some rich, some poor, some in between. Every color. We have every color. They're all equally happy. We have, you know, they're happy. Why? Those that are dedicated to Christ are very, very happy. Those that aren't, those that are out doing their drinking parties, they're not happy. They really aren't. I've been on both sides. Many of you have. And I can promise you they're not happy. The fan's in his hands and he's doing stuff and he's showing. Relate your life to God. That's what counts. Nothing else counts. Nothing else counts. And these are the things that truly, really count. It really is. I want you just to look over at my right and your left, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, that's in any Bible. You go home, and if you're from another denomination, read it in your Bible. Says the same thing. Very important. It's a gift. How do you get a gift? You receive it. You just take it and receive it. You mean going to heaven is just a gift? Yes. It's just a gift. Not just a gift. The greatest of all gifts. The greatest of all gifts. You know, those of you bringing gifts to Jessica, you're not bringing it to her so that she can work for it. You're bringing it to her because you care for her and there's no strings attached to a wedding gift, right? I mean, there may be when my daughter got married, that son-in-law, never good enough. You know. No, I got a good son-in-law. Makes all the difference in the world, right? Sure it does.